Like, I really, I know it's not nice, but tell me if I'm wrong. Clay Aiken is like a Mormon scarecrow come to life. It is fucking, I'm not saying he's Mormon. I don't think he is. I just, in my personal opinion, if a scarecrow was brought to life by Mormon magic, it would be Clay Aiken, but not all, but also like not gay. But it would look like that. It would look like Clay Aiken, but it would like spread the message of God's love. Hey everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, not Clay Aiken, as you may have previously heard. I'm the living scarecrow brought to life, and we're here to discuss today's. I'm not made of hay though. I'm made of weed. For another 420 fairy tales. That's right, we're back. It's amazing. How are you? I'm great. I am just absolutely fantastic. It is another day in my closet where I'm safe from the horrors of the outside world. And only the horrors of the internal world. Depression and anxiety, am I right, you guys? So relatable. And so we're going to go continue on to another world of horrific happenings with another one of Grimm's fairy tales. Will it be violent as fuck? Let's find out. I'm excited. Let's see if it's some guaranteed disturbing imagery with our first story of the day. It is The Foundling. Once upon a time, a forester went out hunting in the forest. I mean, not really surprising. I'd be more surprised if the forester didn't go to the forest, to the lake. You know, what the fuck ever. But he's doing his job. He's hunting in a forest. And he entered it. Good to know. I mean, how are you gonna hunt in it if you don't enter it? It's a good point. I'm sorry, I'm dumb as fuck. They didn't say that. I did. I'm retarded. Let me start over. Forgive me. Don't do drugs, kids. This is your brain on drugs. It's not a pretty thing. A 0 out of 10 reading. Just click out now. It's not going to get any better. It's just going downhill. Like my morality as the year progresses. Okay. Once upon a time, a forester went out hunting in the forest, and as he entered it, he heard some cries that sounded like those of a small child. He followed the sounds and eventually came to a tall tree where he saw a little child sitting on the top. Okay, so what kind of tree is it, is my question, that it would bear the weight of a child? I'm trying to picture a tree that would bear the weight of a child ready to sit on top. Not like clinging to it, just sitting on it. Is there a tree where that does that? I wonder. Maybe like a palm tree. I think you could sit in the middle of that. Anyway, it's probably not a palm tree. It's probably some bullshit. So don't listen to my guess here, because I don't think it's correct. The child's mother had fallen asleep with him under the tree. Fucking Child Protective Services not doing their job. And a hawk had seen the child in her lap. So it swooped down, carried the child away with its beak, and set him down on top of the tree. Honestly, surprised that it didn't just eat him right away. Like, that's some honestly... Grimm is learning. He's not immediately murdering the child. So that's good. That's better than I have expected so far. It's pretty nice. The forester climbed the tree and brought the child down and thought, "You ought to take him home with you and raise him with your little Lena." Yeah, that's not how adoption works, buddy. That's, you're stealing that kid. So he took the boy home. And the two children grew up together. He abducted that child. That's not what you're supposed to do, bad forester. However, the boy who had been found on top of the tree was called Foundling, because he had been carried off by a bird. Fuck you. Seriously? You named the kid after his trauma? That's fucking dick behavior. Holy shit. That guy is an abusive kidnapper. He renamed this child and named them after the trauma that caused them to be stolen by him. This is not okay. This forester, I'm starting to think, is not a nice character at all. I'm starting to not like him very much. Foundling and little Lena were very fond of each other. Uh-oh. Let me some wincest here. In fact, they loved each other so much that they became sad if they were not constantly within sight of each other. Oh man, this is some step-sibling Pornhub shit. Really is. Tell me I'm wrong. Go away. Now the forester had an old cook, and one evening she took two buckets and began fetching water. But she didn't go to the well simply one time, but many times. Good for her. That's some good repetition there. When little Lena saw this, she asked, "Tell me, old Sana." It's S-A-N-N-A, maybe it's Santa. I don't know. It's stupid. "Tell me, old Santa, why are you fetching so much water?"
"If you promise to keep quiet, I'll let you in on my secret."
Little Lena, of course, replied that she wouldn't tell a soul. That lying bitch, you already know. You know she's a liar. Where the fuck was I? Where's that little thing about the liar? Okay, then the cook said, "Early tomorrow morning, when the forester goes out hunting, I'm going to heat some water over the fire, and when it's boiling, I'm going to throw Foundling in and cook him." What the fuck? Okay, this person has never watched any crime show ever. You seriously? You just went up to his sister, who was clearly, obviously in love with him, and being like, "Stay, don't tell anyone, but I'm totally gonna boil your stepbrother alive. You better not say nothing or try to prevent it," and then be like, shocked fucking Pikachu face when shit goes south. Fucking moron. Oh, sorry, I don't mean to judge her murdering plans, but like, really? You haven't seen any crime, any true crime drama ever? You don't have any common sense? I feel like common sense would say, like, it goes bad if you tell a friend. This is their sister. Why would you tell them? This is the worst idea. I'm really upset. I feel like she should have gotten away with boiling this child alive. I mean, if she was smart, but now she doesn't deserve to, so shame on you. You could have been boiling that child, and now all you have is failure. But also, don't boil children alive. This is, been a sponsored message by my future lawyers. Let's see. Early the next morning, the forester got up to go out hunting, and after he had gone, the children were still in bed. Then little Lena said to Foundling, "If you won't forsake me, I won't forsake you."
"Never ever," said Foundling.
"Well then, I'm going to tell you something important," said little Lena. "Last night, old Santa carried many buckets of water into the house, and I asked her why she was doing that. She said that if I wouldn't tell a soul, she'd let me in on her secret, and I promised her not to tell a living soul. Then she said that get to the fucking point. Really? You can't just be like, get the fuck out, this crazy bitch is gonna kill you. It's literally happening right now. You should have had this conversation yesterday. Holy fuck. Wait till the last goddamn minute to possibly not even spare this guy's life. Jesus. Terrible. Okay. I don't like it. Then she said that early this morning, when my father goes out hunting, she would boil a kettle full of water, throw you in, and cook you. So let's get up quickly, dress ourselves, and run away together. Then the two children got up, dressed themselves quickly, and ran away. When the water in the kettle began to boil, the cook went into the bedroom to get Foundling and throw him into the kettle. But as she entered the room and went over to the bed, she saw that the two children were gone, and she became greatly alarmed. "What shall I say when the forester comes home and sees that the children are gone?" she said.
I'd better send some people after them so we can get them back.
The cook sent 3 servants to pursue them and bring them back. But the children were sitting at the edge of the forest and saw the 3 servants coming from afar.
If you won't forsake me, I won't forsake you,
said little Lena.
Never ever, said Foundling.
Then change yourself into a rose bush, and I'll be the rose on it, said little Lena.
What the fuck? They had these abilities the whole goddamn time. Okay, I'm taking an intermission.
What the fucking fuck? They have magical goddamn abilities. Really?
So, here's a question. Perhaps they're both part demon, which is why the cook wants to kill little Foundling, because, you know, the little Foundling is part demon, and that's why he has these magical abilities, and, you know, his poisonous demon ways have corrupted his stepsister. And that's why they wanted to kill him. It was too late for the stepsister. That was the cook's mistake. She didn't know. She didn't fucking know. It's all coming together now. It's pretty bleak, if I do say so myself. That poor cook. She was just trying to do the right thing. All right, let's end the intermission and continue the cook's tragic story. As they fight very hard to kill the spawn of Satan, Foundling. When the 3 servants reached the edge of the forest, they saw nothing but a rose bush with 1 little rose on it. The children were nowhere to be seen.
There's nothing we can do here, they said,
and they went home, where they told the cook they had seen nothing but a rose bush with a rose on it. Then the cook scolded them.
You blockheads!
That's a good insult. I mean, more people should say it. Blockhead. Fucking got him.
You blockheads! You should have cut the rose bush in 2, plucked the rose and brought it back with you. Now go quickly and do it!
So they had set out once more and looked for the children. But when the children saw them coming from afar, little Lena said,
If you won't forsake me, I won't forsake you.
What the fuck does that mean, bitch? Quit testing him. Jesus Christ.
I won't forsake you.
Never ever, said Foundling.
Then change yourself into a church and I'll be the chandelier hanging in it,
little Lena said.
The fuck?
They can change into a church and a chandelier. Little Lena wants to be inside of him. That's someone's kink. When the 3 servants arrived at the spot, the G-spot, there was nothing but a church and a chandelier inside it.
What should we do here?
Let's go home.
When they got home, the cook asked whether they had found anything.
They said no.
They found nothing but a church with a chandelier inside.
You fools! The cook scolded them. Why didn't you destroy the church and bring back the chandelier?
This time, the old cook herself set out on foot, accompanied by the 3 servants, and pursued the children. But the children saw the 3 servants coming from afar, and also the cook, who was waddling behind them. Okay, so we get it. The cook's fat. Why, you got a rag on her, all right? Or she has some kind of defect with her hips and legs, in which case you are shaming a disabled woman. Shame. Shame on you for that. Shame.
Foundling, said little Lena. If you won't forsake me, I won't forsake you.
Never ever, said Foundling.
Then change yourself into a pond, said little Lena, and I'll be the duck swimming on it.
Water sports. When the cook arrived and saw the pond, she lay down beside it and began to drink it up. However, the duck quickly swam over, grabbed her head in its beak, and dragged her into the water. The old witch was thus drowned, and the children went home together.
We're very happy, and if they haven't died, they're still alive. Stop ending stories like that. That's stupid. But also, so she drowned inside that child's body. Did they drag her out of the water? When he changes back, are bits of his flesh left on her body if she's not dry? Is it blood? Like, what happens to the water that's left over? I'm just curious, like, what is she going to be covered in? Interesting question. I mean, she drowned in it. What are her lungs going to be full of in the autopsy? Blood? His blood? I mean, I'm really curious about how this works. But then again, it's just a crazy demon child, so who knows? That was, interesting. I guess this is time for another intermission because I'm thirsty. Okay. Well, that was certainly a piece of crap. Let's go on to the next story. The title of which makes me think of a yeast infection. I know it's not what they mean, but tell me you don't agree. It is King Thrushbeard. You know, thrush. Anyway. A king had a daughter who was marvelously beautiful, but so proud and haughty that she rejected one suitor after the other out of stubbornness and ridiculed them as well. What a bitch. Once her father held a great feast and invited all the marriageable young men at the event. They were all lined up according to their rank and class. I mean, could this be more of a meat market? Seriously? You honestly made them line up like they were pieces of beef and you graded them. Honestly, that is the most degrading shit I have ever heard of. And I'm frankly surprised it's happening to men. I'm used to it being the other goddamn way around. They subverted my fucking expectations. But this is degrading on either sex, and it is not a nice look. Equality, thank you. Oh, where the fuck was I? All right, they were lined up according to their cut, their rank and class. First came the kings, then the dukes, princes, courts, and barons, and finally the gentry. The king's daughter was led down the line, and she found fault with each one of the suitors there. In particular, she made the most fun of a good king who stood at the head of the line and had a chin that was a bit crooked. I mean, I'm trying to picture it. I kind of wish I knew what that looked like. Crooked chin. It was a bit crooked. I'm not saying you should make fun of somebody, but that is an interesting trait. But honestly, though, like, if you're a nobleman back in that time, there's so much inbreeding, so much incest. No wonder that guy's chin was crooked. He's probably the healthiest and best looking out of all the nobility there, man. He just had a crooked chin. And of course, you're going to find defects in all of them. They have tons of birth defects. They've had all through that all inbreeding. Come on. But you can't be picky. You're also inbred. Like, deal with it, hills have eyes. Like, this is your fucking selection, bitch. Don't have such high standards.
My goodness, she exclaimed and laughed. He's got a chin like a thrush's beak.
Oh, it's a bird.
From then on, everyone called him Thrushbeard. What the fuck? That's mean as hell.
Fuck, his chin's like a bird's beak? How? Do the birds have crooked beaks?
Do they? They probably do. I mean, it's also like you insulted. That's literally like two birds with one stone. You insulted a man and a bird.
When her father saw how his daughter did nothing but ridicule people, he became furious and swore that she would have to marry the very first beggar who came to his door.
I mean, like, fucking good. Got him, bitch. Granted, it's fucked up to make someone marry anyone. It's really, really fucked up to be like, you're too uppity, your standards are too high. I'm gonna force you to marry the first person who asks. That's kind of a shitty, super shitty parenting, but also, like, fuck this bitch, so I'm really torn. Oh, I know it's not right, but also kind of just enjoying her suffering. First beggar, let's find out who it is.
A few days later, a minstrel appeared and began singing beneath the princess's window. When the king heard him, he ordered him to come up to him immediately. Despite his dirty appearance, his daughter had to accept him as her bridegroom. That's fucked up. It's like a hobo.
A minister was summoned right away, and the wedding took place. I feel like he's going to be there for the penetration to ensure that it happens. Like, you know, this guy's kink. He's way too into this. Like, we got it. You proved your point. Like, she's an asshole, but this is who she got it from, I'm thinking. It's the dad, clearly. She's just an asshole in a different way, but this guy's a cruel, abusive fucker. It all starts from this asshole.
After the wedding was finished, the king said to his daughter, "It's not fitting for you to stay in my palace any longer since you're a beggar woman." Oh my god. That guy's a monster. "You must now depart with your husband." The beggar took her away, and as they walked through a huge forest, she asked the beggar, "Tell me, who might the owner of this beautiful forest be?"
"King Thrushbeard owns the forest and all you can see. If you had taken him, it would belong to you."
"Alas, poor me, what can I do? I should have wed King Thrushbeard, if only I knew. Oh, come on, gold digging ho.
Married to it, but honestly though, I just kind of feel really bad for her now. Holy shit, her dad's garbage. Jesus Christ.
Soon they crossed a meadow and she asked again, "Tell me, who might the owner of this beautiful green meadow be?"
"King Thrushbeard owns the meadow and all you can see. If you had taken him, it would belong to you."
"Alas, poor me, what can I do? I should have wed King Thrushbeard if only I knew."
And they came to a large city. I mean, we can really see what's happening here. And she asked once more,
"Tell me, who might the owner of this beautiful big city be?"
"King Thrushbeard owns a forest and all you can see."
What about the city? You didn't say that. Are you just going back to the first thing because he doesn't own the city? Is this a misprint? Or is he just like, "I'm going to go back to forest and hope she didn't hear that part"?
I fucking saw it, though.
"If you'd taken him, it would belong to you."
"Alas, poor me. What can I do? I should have wed King Thrushbeard if only I knew." The minstrel became very grumpy when he heard that she always desired another man and didn't think that he was good enough for her.
Well, I mean, maybe you should lie a little and not say King Thrushbeard owns everything. Like, also, you know this bitch was forced to marry you, right? Like, I feel like she has a right to be more grumpy than you. Could be wrong. I mean, maybe he's pissed because he expected to have the wealth and now it's like, fuck. I'm still a beggar, and now I'm married to this person, and he was the gold digger to begin with.
Finally, they came to a tiny cottage, and she exclaimed, "Oh, Lord, what a wretched tiny house. It's not even fit for a little mouse."
The beggar answered, "This house is our house, and we shall live here together. Now, make a fire at once and put the water on so you can cook me my meal. I'm very tired."
However, the king's daughter knew nothing about cooking, and the beggar had to lend a hand himself.
Oh, that poor fucker had to do woman's work, huh?
Dickbag.
At first, things went reasonably well, and after they had eaten, they went to bed. But the next morning she had to get up very early and work. For a few days they lived miserably until the man finally said,
"Wife, we can't go on this way any longer. We're eating everything up and not earning anything. You've got to weave baskets."
What an ultimatum.
"You've got to weave baskets? What do I look like, a basket weaver?"
Fucking insult. That's not cool. Don't call me that. He went out and cut some willows and brought them home, and she had to begin to weave baskets. However, the rough willows bruised her hands.
"I see you can't do this work," said the man. "So try spinning. Perhaps you'll be better at that.
I mean, you could give her time for her hands to get used to it. I mean, it gave it a second. Jeez, he's already making excuses. Is that a plane? I think it is. Somebody was mowing earlier, and it was like 6:30 p.m. Like, what the fuck? Stop mowing, you dick. Some people need to record porn.
She sat down and spun, but her fingers were so soft that the hard thread soon cut her.
And blood began to flow. She needs to see a doctor. How is she wearing clothes? How does she get dressed? What thread is she using? Steel thread? Because otherwise, if it's regular cloth thread, bitch needs a doctor. That is not normal. Why are her hands so delicate that she bleeds to touch thread?
"You're not fit for any kind of work," said the man, who was now very irritated. "I'm going to start a business with earthenware. You're to sit in the marketplace and sell the wares."
On the first occasion, everything went well. People gladly bought her pots because she was beautiful. Wow. Wow, that's... maybe they were actually good. So either people here are incredibly shallow, or you're just downplaying her accomplishments. And they paid what she asked. It's like the medieval OnlyFans, right? Indeed, many gave her money and didn't even bother to take the pots with them. Oh, it's like Patreon. When everything had been sold, her husband bought a lot of new earthenware. Once again, his wife sat down with it at the marketplace and hoped to make a good profit. Suddenly, a drunken hussar, I don't know what that is, came galloping along and rode right over to the pots, so they were all smashed to pieces. The woman became terrified, and for the rest of the day she didn't dare to go home. When she finally did, the beggar was nowhere to be seen. For some time she lived in poverty and in great need. Then a man came and invited her to a wedding. She wanted to take all kinds of leftovers from the wedding and live off of them for a while. I mean, you gotta shame a bitch. Who invited her? And, like, that's really sad. Like, she's a sad homeless beggar. That's really sad. I know it's, like, immoral to be kind to people, but, like, damn, her life has been fucking hell. Like, she was married off to somebody who treated her like shit, and her fingers are so soft that they bleed, like, nonstop doing anything. She seems like she's got some kind of medical disorder, and everyone's treating her like shit, and now she's trying to eat leftovers for some random wedding that someone pity invited her to. That's sad. I don't think because she was too picky is a good reason for all of this to happen. I don't think that the punishment fits the crime, personally. So she put on her little coat with a pot underneath. Okay, this plan has a lot of holes. She ever heard of Glad bags, hefty bags? Just bringing a whole ass pot. That is some nerve. It's like if you fucking go to the movies with like a hot pot of soup, you're just carrying it in with your like pot holders. That's what this shit is. She's bringing a pot, like a large cooking pot, to a wedding of people she doesn't know. That should be your lowest point. If you sink any lower, this should be her lowest point. Okay, she put on her little coat with a pot underneath and stuck a large leather purse with it. The wedding was magnificent and with plenty of good things.
She filled the pot with soup and her leather purse with scraps, like a dog. As she was about to leave with everything, one of the guests demanded that she dance with him. How big is their fucking quilt? Is she just really fat, or is it just a huge coat? How otherwise do people not notice? Like, you're waddling away with a big thing of hot soup in your clothes? That seems like a terrible idea and potentially hazardous. And a bunch of scraps in your purse. Girl, you need to seek for something better, honestly. She resisted with all her might, but to no avail. That sounds like assault. He grabbed hold of her, and she had to go with him. That's definitely assault. All at once, the pot fell so that the soup flowed on the ground, and the mini scraps also tumbled out of her purse. This is like a fucking sitcom. Like a sad sitcom. Where they're ridiculing the, like, main character. He's trying to save money or some shit. Tell me it wouldn't happen. When the guests saw this, they broke out in laughter and ridiculed her. Oh, she was the highlight of the wedding. The sad poor woman who tried to steal your food so she can survive. Ha ha ha. Laughing in 1%. She was so ashamed that she wished she were 1,000 fathoms under the earth. She ran out the door and tried to escape, but a man caught up with her on the stairs and brought her back. When she looked at him, she saw it was King Thrushbeard, and he said, "I and the beggar are the same person." "Oh, you dickbag. And I was also the hussar who rode over your pots and smashed them to pieces. All this happened for you, for your benefit, and to punish you, because you'd ridiculed me some time ago. I'm a sadistic motherfucker. This is how I get off. Now, however, our wedding will be celebrated." That was some fucked up shit. Do not marry this man. That is some sadistic shit. Holy fuck. That's some fucked up shit. Oh my god, the man holds a goddamn motherfucking grudge. Holy shit, that's a new level of petty award. Petty bitch award. Dear god. Revenge is best served out of a large pot inside of your coat. Oh my god. Then her father also appeared with his entire court, and she was cleaned and magnificently dressed, appropriate for her position, and the festive event was her marriage with King Thrushbeard. Those fuckers were in it together. Think about this. She is forcibly marrying, what the fuck ever, it doesn't matter, forced to be with King Yeastbeard, because she and her sick-ass father were sick of her bullshit and constructed some sick plan to basically make her a desperate beggar and, like, eating scraps desperately. And then when she was just pathetic enough, they decided that they would surprise her, like, haha, it was just a social experiment, bro. Now she's traumatized for life and will be too terrified to do anything and speak out. Congratulations, you have your trauma victim PTSD bride. Fucking piece of shit. Oh shoot, where was I? Oh, I lost my space. Oh no. The next one's Snow White. Wait, Snow White was different? The other Snow White was different than that Snow White? I'm gonna skip over it for now, because it's long as fuck. This one shorter. Okay. The next story I'm doing is not in the correct order. It's a story after. Technically, it was supposed to be the next story, but the next story is really long, and I don't want this to be too long because I'm really hungry and I want to make food soon. So, I mean, I'm just being honest. Honesty is the best policy, right? So, I'm just going to read, I remember this. I feel like we read this earlier, but I think it was earlier in, I guess this is just a different one featuring this character. I think this was the guy who ripped out the eyeballs. I could be wrong, but apparently he's back. Hans, yes, Hans is back to traumatize us once again. Odds of eyeballs being ripped out. I'm going to say 90%, maybe 95%. Simple Hans, probably going to rip out some eyeballs. I'm ending this on a dramatic note, and I am apologizing now in advance. Simple Hans. Not so simple, fucking sadistic sociopath Hans. Once a king lived happily with his daughter, who was his only child. I hope you didn't like her eyes. Then, all of a sudden, she gave birth to a baby, and no one knew who the father was. Oh, shit. No one knew who the father was. For a long time, the king didn't know what to do. At last, he ordered the princess to take the child and go to the church. Once there, a lemon was to be placed in the hands of the child, and the boy was to walk about and offer it to a man. Wait, how long is this? So, she had a baby, and now it's a kid who can walk? This dude had to think a long time about what to do. Didn't he grow attached to the baby in the meantime? It's like a kid now. Was he like, if this kid is irritating enough, I'm gonna, like, have him murdered. I'm gonna have him go up and, like, let the pedophile take care of the rest. He's telling him to wander around with the lemon. The boy was to walk about and offer it to a man. Giving a lemon to a man? A random dude? Some child of unknown age? That's how you lose a child. He is planning this. He was planning his revenge, you know? That's what it was. He couldn't technically murder the child, so he has to, like, let some sicko murder him instead. I mean, I realize that's grim, but what are we reading? Grimm's fairy tales, not happy, happy, joy fairy tales. Always something sad. Oh, no. Simple Hans. Was Simple Hans the child? Maybe this is how he got Simple. Car accident. He tried to offer the lemon to someone, and a car just ran him over. It's really dark. Why am I this dark? I'm sorry. I've gotten in a dark tangent. Let's start from the beginning. That was really dark. That was just intermission, and we're gonna start from a happier place. Ooh, Simple Hans. Just simply leave out the negative comments. You can do this. Once a king lived happily with his daughter, who was his only child. Then all of a sudden she gave birth to a baby, and no one knew who the father was. It was the king. It was the king. He's pretending all along he doesn't know. Incest baby. He shouldn't be surprised. He's royalty. It happens all the time. At last, he ordered the princess to take the child and go to the church. Once there, a lemon was to be placed in the hands of the child, and the boy was to walk about and offer it to a man. As soon as the boy stopped and chose a man, they would know that he was the child's father. That is not how paternity works. Is that how paternity worked back in the day? Holy shit, you'd have to put on your meanest resting bitch face. Any kid with a lemon, you just kick it away. I feel like if that was how paternity was solved, you'd have to be constantly on the lookout for some bastard child with a lemon. So you can just kick it in the head before it gets near you. Don't kick kids, that's what my future lawyer tells me to say. That's not okay. Don't kick a child. But I mean, like, back in the day, this would be a horrible way to determine paternity. This is completely fucked. Do not say because your child approached a stranger with a lemon that that means that's their dad. Don't do that. That's wrong. Don't do that, please. But let's see what happens. Everything. Oh, and he was the child's father, and he would be declared the princess's husband. So not only is he now on the hook for the paternity, he has to marry the princess. That's rape. Everything was arranged accordingly, and the king also gave orders to allow only high-born people into the church. Wow. That's fucked up. However, there was a crooked little hunchback living in the city, who was not particularly smart and was therefore called Simple Hans. Wow. Lived in a city full of judgmental pricks, did he? Sounds like he did. Just like Foundling, these fucking people have started some bullshit, fucked up traditions. They wonder why everything's so violent. This is how you treat your goddamn citizens? Fuck. Well, he managed to push his way into the church among the others without being noticed. And when the child offered the lemons, he handed it to Simple Hans. T- Tell me, the kid is not trolling the fuck out of his mom? Like he fucking hates her?
And he's like, yeah, it was the village retard, mom. Now it's your husband, how you fucking like it? Like, one day I'll grow up, I'll be out of this fucking hellhole, but you'll still be married to Simple Hans.
The princess was mortified, and the king was so upset that he had his daughter, the child, and Simple Hans stuck into a barrel, which was cast into the sea. So, my immediate assumption, if the daughter got impregnated by Simple Hans, okay, either she is some kind of sexual deviant, right? The creepy little hunchback. Or she was raped and is therefore not aware that it even happened, in which case she's a victim. Because the odds that your daughter would willingly sleep with Simple Hans and her horror at finding out that he is the father would suggest she had no fucking idea. In which case, wouldn't you kill just Simple Hans if you were trying to be fair? These times had the most fuckity fucked up views on everything. So drown them all. The barrel soon floated off, and when they were alone at sea, the princess groaned and said, "You nasty, impudent hunchback! You're to blame for my misfortune. Why did you force your way into the church? My child's of no concern to you."
"That's not true," said Simple Hans. "He does concern me because I once made a wish that you would have a child, and whatever I wish comes true."
"Did you wish to drown at sea? It's coming true, Hans."
"Well, if that's the case, wish us something to eat."
"That's easily done."
"I don't know why his voice is changing. I'm really high," replied Simple Hans, and he wished for a dish full of potatoes. The princess would have liked to have something better. Nevertheless, she was... why don't you ask? He says anything he wishes come true. How about instead of eating fucking potatoes on your fucking barrel in the sea, you wish to be out of the fucking barrel into a house? Forgive me, your hunger does not take priority here, princess.
Fuck.
Anyway, she's so hungry that she joined him in eating the potatoes. After they had satisfied their hunger, Simple Hans said,
"Now I'll wish us a beautiful ship."
No sooner had he said this than they were sitting on a splendid ship that contained more than enough to fulfill their desires. The helmsman guided the ship straight toward land, and when they went ashore, Simple Hans said,
"Now I want a castle over there."
Suddenly there was... So I guess he must have wished to rape her, so what happened? It's powerful, all right. Suddenly there was a magnificent castle standing there, along with servants dressed in golden uniforms. A little gaudy. They led the princess and her child inside, and when they were in the middle of the main hall, Simple Hans said,
"Now I wish to be a young and clever prince."
All at once his effect disappeared. And he was handsome, upright, and kind. Indeed, the princess took such a great liking to him that she became his wife. Wow. So it's not even like it's what's on the inside that matters. It's like, yeah, it's what's on the inside that matters, but also only if they become attractive afterward. Like, she couldn't have actually loved Simple Hans if he was this ugly hunchback. Let's be real. He would have just remained a good friend. You know what I mean? So he had to wish himself hot. I mean, don't get me wrong, I totally would have done the same thing, but it's shallow. For a long time, they lived happily together. And then one day, the old king went out riding, lost his way, and arrived at their castle. He was puzzled because he had never seen it before and decided to enter. The princess recognized her father immediately, but he did not recognize her, for he thought she had drowned in the sea a long time ago because he was a fucking killing-ass prick piece of shit. So she treated him with a great deal of hospitality, and when he was about to return home, she secretly slipped a golden cup into his pocket. After he had ridden off, she sent a pair of knights after him. They were ordered to stop and search him to see if he had stole a golden cup. When they found it in his pocket, they brought him back. He swore to the princess that he hadn't stolen it and didn't know how it had gotten in his pocket. "That's why," she said, "one must beware of rushing to judgment. and she revealed to him that she was his daughter. The king rejoiced, and they all lived together, and after the king's death, Simple Hans became king.
Holy shit, it was nice. But also, they're way too fucking forgiving. Way, 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 way too fucking forgiving. Would I kill my dad for trying to drown me? Probably not. Would I live happily ever after with him? Fuck no. Probably lose at least a hand. A Han. A simple Han. Okay, well, that's it for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed. I enjoyed it as well. I've had a lot of fun today, and I hope you did too. And I hope that you will be there for the first live Drunk and Dangerous this Friday. Yes, it's coming. And if you're not, I will record it and post it here. Otherwise, I will see you next week. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you then. Bye.